It was very exciting, although a little bit of a lengthy trip up to Groton, South Dakota yesterday. Our Bible quiz team was competing. We actually have two teams from our church, and so they were both competing yesterday, and they did quite well. But one of the big highlights was in one of the particular quizzes. Actually, they were quizzing against each other, our two teams were. And it was down to the last question, question 20. And Michael, Sarah, and Gabe, and Brody Kaufman are on one team, and they were up by 20 points. And a correct answer is worth 20 points. And on the other team was Annabelle, Caitlin, and Allie. And so I called a timeout. I was coach of both of them actually at the time. But and so I met with the one team, and then I went over to Allie's team, and I said, Allie, just so you know, if you answer this question, not only will we get the 20 points, but we'll get a third person bonus and we will win. And sure enough, she jumped up on the next question, answered it correctly, and won the game. And it was very exciting. But overall, everybody did really well, and hopefully they had a lot of fun. I had a lot of fun being there and watching them. And we talked a little bit about the importance of being in the Word, and that is a great way to make sure that you're in the Word, is to be on the Bible quiz team. Okay, probably most of you guys have heard of Rainbow Bible Ranch, and those of you who haven't, you're missing out, but that's the camp that some of our kids go out to each summer. I know our kids go out there and are a part of that. It's a working ranch, but also it's also a Bible camp, and they have gear that you can buy, and on their hats on the side it says riding for the brand, and on the front is the fish symbol, the Christian fish symbol. And Larry is all about promoting the brand of Christ. Now, sometimes we like to think that we're about promoting the brand of Christ, but we're really about promoting our own brand. There was a couple, of course we all seen those TV shows, right, where somebody leaves the corporate world and goes out and buys a farm and then decides that they, you know, they're going to be a homesteader or whatever. Well, there was this family that wanted to kind of do that as well. They were from New York, and they bought a ranch out west. And they went out, and they were deciding on what the name of the ranch was going to be. And so the dad, he wanted it to be called Bar-J. And the wife, she liked Susie Q. Well, the oldest boy, he wanted the Flying W, and the youngest boy, he wanted the Lazy Y. And so here they are trying to figure out what the name of this ranch is going to be and what the brand of the ranch is going to be. And so they decided it was going to be Bar J, Susie Q, Flying W, Lazy Y. So their friends came out to visit and learned about this ranch and the name of it. And they asked, well, where are all the cattle for the ranch? And they said, well, none of them survived the branding. Okay, well, that didn't go over all that great, but let's try a different one. Herman Edwards, he was the coach of the Kansas City Chiefs. Let's say back in 2003. Well, a little bit after that. So right around there. He said this: the players that play on this football team will play for the name on the side of the helmet and not the name on the back of the jersey. the brand that we're about is important. What we're trying to promote is important. The goals that we have that we're trying to accomplish are important. Amos 3:3 says, "Can two walk together unless they are in agreement?" When we think about God's plan for marriage, spiritual unity is one of those things that are very important. There's two types of unity. One is spiritual unity, and the other one is physical unity. The result of physical unity is physical fruit. Genesis 2:21 through 25 says, "And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs, and he closed up the flesh in its place. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. And Adam said, 'This is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. And therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And they were both naked, and the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed.'" And God said, this is Genesis 1:26 through 28, God said, "Let us make man in our own image, according to our own likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over all the creeping things that creep on the earth." And so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And then God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over every living thing that moves on the earth." So God put two people together, and he said, "I want you guys to have physical unity, to come together as one. And out of that unity, there will be a multiplication, children." Right? Children are the physical fruit of physical unity, which God desires for our marriage. But there's another kind of unity that God desires, and that is spiritual unity. And spiritual unity leads to spiritual fruit. Ephesians 4:1 through 6 says, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called with one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all." Now, there are two types of unity that we can have as far as spiritual unity, because there are two types of fruit that result in the spiritual world. One is the fruit of wickedness. 1 Timothy 4:1 through 3 says, "Now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth." Right? That's just for all the vegans out there. But where I want to draw your attention is that the Spirit expressly says in the latter times that some will depart from the faith, and they will give heed to what? Deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, right? Some people are going to serve evil. And when two people get together and serve evil, there is going to be a fruit of that. And that is the fruit of wickedness. Ephesians 5, 3 through 7 says, "But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you, as is fitting for saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them." When we serve evil, the powers of darkness, there is a fruit that comes, and that fruit is going to bring the wrath of God. And if we do not want to eat of that fruit, we ought not to serve it. We ought not to serve those evil spirits. Instead, we ought to serve God's Spirit and to experience the fruit of God's Spirit. Ephesians 5, 8 through 13, continue on in that passage. It says, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light." Galatians 5, 22 through 23 lists the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such there is no law. So we have a choice. We can be united towards that which is evil, or we can be united towards that which is good. And so I want to give us three things where we need to have unity in our marriage in order to be able to experience the fruit of the Spirit. The first one is we need to have one Lord. One Lord. And in order to have one Lord, that means we have to die to self. And that's a sad day, to be honest with you. That's a funeral for me. You know, when we grow up, we have this vision for what we want to accomplish. I want to go out and do this. Well, guess what? Your wife has a vision too. I want to go out and do this. Guess who else has a vision? God, right? He's got a vision for your life. Guess who else has a vision for your life? Sin. Sin has a vision for your life. Right? That's Genesis chapter 4. Sin lies at the door. Its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. There's a lot of visions for your life. Your mother-in-law has a vision for your life. Right? But let's just focus in on these three relationships: God, husband, and wife. That's why I call it the three-eyed monster, right? Because we all have a different vision. And when you have three different visions going in three different directions, it's called division. Division is not unity. And then, well, let me say this. When I was in high school, one of my counselors told me about, he got married. His wife told him, well, actually, they got into the wedding. After the wedding, they ran down the steps. They got into the limo. And he told his wife, before we go any further, I need to clear something up with you. And he said, and she said, what's that? And he said, I just want to make sure you know right now, I'm the head in this relationship. Now, why he chose that moment, I don't know, but that's the moment he chose. And so she said, you know what? No problem. That's okay. We can have that understanding. And he said, right there, I knew I was sunk. Because she responded by saying, you're the head and I'm the neck. And the neck turns the head whichever way it wants to. Sometimes that's what our marriages are looking like. A competition of the will. Who's more determined? Who's willing to get lower and lower to try to manipulate the other person? But there's another option, and that is to have one vision for the family. Unity. Joshua 24:15 says, if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I think it's really important to understand what he's saying. He's not saying, as for me and my house, we're going to wear Christian t-shirts. He's not saying, as for me and my house, we're going to go to church on Sunday. He's saying, you know what? There's a lot of things you can do with your life. There's a lot of things. And today, oh my goodness, there are so many different things that you can do with your life. And he says, for me and my house, we are going to serve the vision that God has for us. Which means where my vision is different than God's vision, I'm letting go of my vision. That's unity. Unity is where there's one purpose, one vision, one Lord. So the question is, who will you serve? Romans 6:16 says, do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slaves whom you obey? Whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness. You want to know whose vision for your life that you're following? Just look at the one you're obeying. It's very easy. Is it God's? Is it your mother-in-law's? Is it your husband's or your wife's? Is it none of them? Is it sin's? Who are you serving? Now, we do talk a lot about, and I think it's important to understand that the husband is the head of the household. That's what Scripture teaches. But if what that looks like is just the husband saying, hey, that means my vision is the one that wins, right? Hey, wife, you're supposed to be in my camp. Therefore, I win. You got to do whatever I tell you to do. No, that's not what That's not what's being taught here in Scripture at all. The idea of spiritual unity in marriage is the idea of a selfless marriage. The idea of a selfless marriage. The idea that I'm not here for me, you're not here for me, I'm here for us. We're in this together for a purpose. And that purpose is greater than us. Okay, before we go on to point two, I got an illustration here. I need Jackie and Stephen to come up here and sit in these two chairs. We're going to put them on the hot seat. And do you think they knew about this ahead of time? No. Okay. You got a card. It says yes, and it says no. Yeah, you got to pay attention to that because they got printed upside down backwards. Okay. All right. So I'm going to ask you guys 10 questions, and your goal is to get as many points out of 10. You get a point for every answer that is the same. Okay? So if the answer is the same on both sides, then you get a point. If it's different, you don't get a point. Okay, I'm going to start with a really easy one. This is the church answer, and I know you guys both went to youth group all your lives, so you know the answer to this question. Number one, is Christ the head of your house? Okay, let's give him a round of applause. Good job. All right, this one shouldn't be too hard either. Does your spouse love you, love Jesus more than you? Uh-oh. All right, good job. Okay, 2 points. All right. The question is victory in Jesus or the old rugged cross? Yes, for victory in Jesus. Which is your favorite? Victory in Jesus or the old rugged cross? Yes, for victory in Jesus. It's your guys' favorite. This is about unity here. Come on, you got to answer. We ain't got all day here. Yes is victory in Jesus. Okay, the next one is 10,000 reasons or God, our God is greater. Yes for 10,000 reasons. Nice, nice. Okay, the next one is the toilet paper. Yes, if it should come from the front and hang like this. No, if it should hang from the back. Okay. All right, the next one is you get an extra $5,000, however you want to get that. The question is, do you take that $5,000 and go on vacation? Yes or no? Nice, nice. Okay, next one. Is only Christian music played in the car? Yes or no? Okay, man, you guys are acing this thing. Okay, number 8. Do the kids fear dad's discipline more than mom's? Yes or no? All right. As the toothpaste goes out of the bottle, do you roll the toothpaste or do you flatten the toothpaste tube? Yes, if you roll the toothpaste. Yeah. No, okay. Last question. Should everyone attend the Valentine's banquet on February 19th? All right. Very good. Okay, you guys win. 10 out of 10. Yeah, that's pretty good. Very impressive, actually. I'm impressed. Okay. Number two is, so number one, we have to have one Lord, which is point two. Number two is we have to have one hope. If we want to have spiritual unity, we have to have a cause that is greater than ourselves. If it's just me against my wife, with God being the referee, that's not going to work. We have to have a cause that we're serving that's greater than ourselves. In our devotion yesterday, the pastor Josh, he was talking about this passage in Acts chapter 13, verse 49 through 52, where the disciples are going out and sharing about Jesus Christ and what is happening. Well, the word is going out, but so is the evil spirits, right? The word is going out, but so is the conflict. Verse 49 through 52 says, "The word of the Lord was being spread throughout all the region, but the Jews stirred up the devout and prominent women and the chief men of the city, and they raised up persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them from their region. But they shook off the dust from their feet against them and came to Iconium." And what does it say? The disciples were filled with what? With joy in the Holy Spirit. Now, here's the question. How can you go through something like the defeat and the shame of being kicked out of a community for preaching the gospel and have joy? Right? How can a couple, a husband and wife, go through the frustration of dealing with children who are being disobedient, the discouragement of losing a job or financial struggles, and be filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit? How can that happen? It can happen if you understand what it is that you're trying to accomplish, and that what you're trying to accomplish is greater than the immediate situation that you find yourself in. Right? If the apostles were just going there to be loved, and they weren't, that would have been a great defeat, right? That would have been a moral failure in their own selves. They would have said, "Oh, we've got to try a new approach, right? We need to start giving away free stuff so that people will like us more." But they didn't have that expression. They were filled with joy that they were kicked out of an area. Well, no, not they weren't really filled with joy because of that. They were filled with joy because the word of God was going out. That's why they were filled with joy. The word of the Lord was being spread throughout all the region. The purpose of their life was greater than their circumstance. They had a common bond that they were living for. And they knew that that bond was worthwhile, and it was worth going through those difficult times. Jude 1:3 says, "Beloved, while I was very diligent to write you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints." We have a hope, and we must contend for it. That means it's not going to be easy. That means there's going to be struggles. It's going to be difficult. It's supposed to be difficult. That's what contend means. Nobody goes to the Super Bowl and wins the Super Bowl, and every team just forfeits along the way. Right? That's not how it works. You have to actually contend for the prize. The prize is worth contending for. But what is the prize that you're contending for? Is it to rule over your husband? Is it to rule over your wife? Is it to get her to submit to you? If that's your whole purpose in life, is to just control your spouse, you will be miserable, and so will they. There has to be a greater purpose, and we must contend for that purpose. And when we go through trials and tribulations, that purpose is the thing that holds us together. It gives us joy in the hard times. Paul says we got to fight the good fight. Ephesians 6, 9 through 12, it says, "You masters, do the same things to them. Give up threatening, knowing that your own master also is in heaven. There is no partiality with him. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." Paul says there is a fight that we must fight. But it's not with the person that we're sleeping with at night. The fight is against Satan. The fight is against evil. The fight is against that which is coming into our home and trying to destroy it. All right, I want to get Jackie and Stephen back up here one more time. And bring some children with you this time, please. And do arithmetic. No. Just set them on. I have them up on the steps here. Kids, just come up on the steps here. You guys ever seen that commercial, Allstate? The guy that was Mayhem. Remember that? The Mayhem commercials, right? And he would give you a situation, right? And he would be sitting on the tree and the car is there. And he would sit on the tree, and then he says, "Oh, I hope your insurance covers this." And he, you know, causes the tree limb to fall on the car, right? Mayhem. Anybody ever seen those commercials? It doesn't matter if you've seen them or not. Stephen, Jackie, I want you to come over here. I want you to hold hands. You guys remember that game, Red Rover? Right? Well, here comes Mayhem, right? And he's coming for your family, right? And as long as you guys are united and protecting, nothing's going to get through, right? Because they're there to protect. But what happens when you guys turn towards each other and instead of fighting against evil, you start fighting against each other? You drop your hands, right? And now, instead of focusing on the outward obstacles, go ahead and drop your hands. Now you're fighting each other, right? And guess what? I can come right through here and grab this guy. Oh, no. We got to fight the good fight, not the bad fight. The bad fight is when we fight each other. The good fight is when we watch over our families and we protect them from evil. And I'm just going to leave you guys up here for a second because the next one is one spirit, striving for peace. And I want to just kind of expand the same thing because the reality is, as hard as Jackie and Stephen try to protect their children from evil, they can't do it. They can't do it all, right? Because Owen has friends that are going to bring temptation into his life. Olivia
watches the television, that's going to be programming her mind to think things, and they're listening to music that's not Christian. Uh-oh. We need to yield to one spirit. We need to have a community of people where we come together and we strive for peace. We strive for this mission of serving God.
How about that? So I need Carmen and Cody. I need you guys to come up here. Eric and Tiffany, I need you guys to come up here. Now, as you guys unite together, right, hold hands with each other. And we could have got all the children up here, right? All those kids that were coming up here for children's church. Yeah, there you go. Lock arms, right? And really, we could get everybody up here. But it's kind of an illustration, so if we get everybody up here, it wouldn't be an illustration anymore. But the point is, as we lock arms together to serve God, then we can protect. We can put a hedge of protection over our families. We can put a hedge of protection over our marriages. But we have to lock arms together. We have to be united in one spirit, which is the Spirit of God. All right, let's give them all a round of applause. You guys can go sit down. We got to have one Lord. We got to have one vision. We got to have one Spirit. One Spirit striving for peace, striving to serve our Lord. When we submit to the Holy Spirit, He helps us in our weaknesses. He guides us into the truth. I want to close with this thought. Discipline is the spirit. Discipline in the spirit is freedom for the soul. You know, as parents, we want our children to have fulfilling lives. But one of the things that we have to do is we have to discipline them. It seems counterproductive, right? Child, go out and do whatever you want to do by doing exactly what I want you to do, right? But that is how it works. We have to discipline ourselves to serve God so that we can accomplish the things that we know we want to do. Right? If I have a goal, let's say I sign up to write one of those articles. I say, I want to write one of those articles. Monday goes by, Tuesday goes by, Wednesday, and Jolene says, hey, do you have an idea of what you're going to write about? I haven't even thought about it yet, but I do want to write one of those articles. Week goes by, 2 weeks goes by. I want to write. I actually have to discipline myself to do that which I want to do. If I want to serve the Spirit, if I want to be in the Spirit, I have to discipline myself in order to be able to have the freedom that the Spirit, the submission to the Spirit brings. John 14, 15 through 17 says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and He will give you another Helper, and He may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees Him or knows Him. But you know Him, for He dwells with you and will be with you. We must discipline ourselves. We must discipline our families. We must walk in the Spirit in order to experience that freedom that is found in the Holy Spirit. I came across this quote this week and I sent it out to our guys. I just think it's great. Seek freedom and become captive of your desires. Seek discipline and find your liberty. Let's pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for your love for us. I thank you for how you desire to lead us, guide us, protect us. And also, Lord, you've given us something that we can rally around, a purpose for life. Lord, the spreading of the gospel, the submission of all people to do that which is good, to serve and honor you with their life. Lord, I pray if there's anybody in here who has not yet found their mate, Lord, I pray that they would hold on to this message. Lord, that they would find somebody who they compassionately serve you alongside. Because, Lord, there are struggles in this life. But if we are serving a common purpose, if we're going in the same direction, we can overcome anything. Jesus said that with faith we can move mountains. There's nothing that is impossible when two people get together and agree to serve God and fulfill His word. But there's nothing more discouraging than linking arms with somebody who's going in the opposite direction. Nothing gets done. Pain, heartache, frustration, bitterness, envy. We know where that all leads, Lord. Lord, I pray that for the married couples here and those who are represented here, I know we have some people missing. Lord, I pray that you would help us to have unity in our marriages, spiritual unity, but not just unity, unity for the cause of Christ, unity to produce the fruit that is good. Not only in our own lives, but the lives of the people who are watching us, the lives of the people who God has entrusted us, but also in the lives of our community. Lord, I pray that the marriages here would be examples for their family. Lord, that moms and dads would come to know you because of the marriages in this room, as they get passionate about serving you. Lord, you are an awesome God, and you are greater than all of our troubles. And as we come together to serve you, nothing can stand in our way if we don't stand in front of each other. If we kneel before you and allow your Spirit to lead, Lord, we will be successful. If we don't turn to the right or to the left, but we follow you in submission to your will, Lord, good things will come if we are willing to wait, if we're patient and faithful. Lord, I pray that we would be that through the power of your Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.